Welcome to Politics Ohio. I'm Emily McCord, and today I'm joined by Karen Kassler. She's the State House News Bureau Chief for Ohio Public Radio. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome. No problem.
It's been a week since Ohio voters turned down the issue that would have limited collective bargaining rights. Tea Party groups came back and said they're pushing for Ohio to become a right-to-work state. Can you tell me what it is that they're hoping to see?
Well, I think they've been bolstered by their success with Issue 3, which was the Ohio Healthcare Freedom Amendment. Their next proposal is the Ohio Workplace Freedom Amendment. And the Issue 3 was a constitutional amendment that sought to allow Ohioans to opt out of any government-run healthcare system. And so they won and won big. Actually, the margin was bigger than the margin of victory for the folks who wanted to defeat Issue 2. So they came back 2 days after the election and proposed the so-called Right to Work Amendment. Which, it should be said that right now federal law says that you don't have to join a union, but if you do go to work in a place where there is a union contract, you do have to pay union dues, and you can not be a member of the union, but you still have to pay union dues to get or keep a job. And this would move Ohio into the group of 22 states right now that ban workplace contracts from having that requirement that everybody has to financially contribute to the union.
So you sat down this week with two economic experts on labor and the economy. What impact are they saying this could have on the state?
Well, first of all, we're only in the very preliminary stages of the so-called Right to Work Amendment and the petition drive that could put it on the ballot. You know, the Tea Party folks had talked about next year, which would be an election year, and it's a year right after this big Issue 2 victory for the unions. The defeat of Issue 2 is a victory for the unions. So there's some suggestion that maybe it's not the time that certain Republicans want, and you even have some Republicans in the state who don't want to see this so-called Right to Work Amendment right now. So this may not be on the ballot at all. It might not be on the ballot until 2013. But the two economic experts I talked to were Dr. Richard Vedder, who's from Ohio University in Athens and is a conservative economic expert. And he says he's not necessarily a huge fan of unions, doesn't oppose them, but he says right to work states do better in a lot of different measures. And then Amy Hannah Hour from Policy Matters Ohio, which is a progressive think tank out of Cleveland, says that Dr. Vedder's wrong, that the fair share states where there are no right-to-work laws, they actually do better. So there's a lot of conflicting information in terms of when you compare statistics. So it's apples to oranges in some areas. There's some ways to compare in other areas. And it's just a lot of different numbers to make it really murky whether there is a big impact from a right-to-work amendment or whether we would keep Ohio as a fair share state.
You mentioned Issue 3, the one that would allow Ohioans to opt out of the federal health care mandate. And you reported this week that this may impact the way the state prepares for that mandate. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Well, I think it's been a little questionable in terms of what's happening with the state. There hasn't been a whole lot of public activity on the setting up of exchanges. The exchanges are required by the Federal Health Care Act. They would be kind of a virtual marketplace where consumers could go and buy insurance once the federal health care law is fully in place. The exchanges have to be ready by the end of December next year. And if they're not ready in the states, then the federal government, according to the law, would come into states and set them up for the states. So the question is whether Ohio is continuing to set up exchanges and moving forward, even though Issue 3 did pass, and even though the U.S. Supreme Court has decided to take up the case. And even Attorney General Mike DeWine, who was in a strong opposition to the federal health care law, strong supporter of Issue 3, has said the state needs to go ahead and start setting up the exchanges because right now that federal law is in place, and until the U.S. Supreme Court rules on it, we don't know what's going to happen. So it's better to go ahead and do that and comply with the law than to not do that.
Also in the aftermath of the election, there was a deal made this week between the state and the state's largest employee union. Do you know the details of that?
Well, that's an interesting thing because the timing of that to a lot of folks is very, well, let's just say interesting. I think that's the best way to put it. It was about a week after the election when, again, as I mentioned, unions had this huge victory in the defeat of Issue 2. And now the state's largest employees union, the Ohio Civil Service Employees Association, 34,000 members, has come to a deal with the state, a tentative deal. It's the first time since the collective bargaining law passed in 1983 that a state contract has been extended. And it's been extended until 2015. And this thing does two interesting things. It brings back the unpaid furlough days that workers had to sacrifice this for Governor Strickland's team when they were trying to balance the budget. But then also it brings back step increases. And step increases would have been completely done away with if Senate Bill 5 had remained law. It's really kind of an interesting contract for the time. But Governor Kasich says it shows he's willing to talk at any time with anybody and that he's comfortable negotiating with unions.
I've been speaking with Karen Kassler from the Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau. Thanks for being here today.
You're welcome. Have a great weekend.